In the market for premium dice and accessories? Look no further than MetallicDiceGames.com for all your gaming needs. Save 10% off your purchases by using the promo code RBP10 at checkout. Check out the fantastic selection of dice and accessories today and use the promo code RBP10 to save 10% off any purchase anytime. Happy gaming from the Rancor's Brothel. Enjoy the show. The Rancor's Brothel presents... A Dungeons & Dragons Adventure. Nev Thelian.
All right, so in the Feywild, up on a platform with the diasporan elves, the descendants of original Nevthalian residents, Edeniel, their leader, has told you that they are about to head to the Seelie Court and has invited you to come along.
So is everybody still speaking Elven?
Predominantly, yeah.
Okay. Nushka is speaking very slowly and very loud.
Are we all invited, including, you know, numbnuts?
Yeah, the guy who's trying to fulfill the mission.
We've resolved any issue.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yes, that's it. I'm sorry, your long-lost ancestor sent us to find you because Ancestry.com was not available.
Okay, so why do you guys have to go to the Seelie Court?
Well, the trite answer is that there's a party. The actual answer is that if we want the Queen's protection, then we have to make sure to pay our dues.
Gotcha.
I think we're the dues.
If we don't pay no tolls, they don't eat no rolls.
Fuck.
So, this way. And she starts walking towards one of the four towers across the bridge that connects to it.
Okay. How much do we know about the Seelie Court and the Gloaming Court and things like that?
Would you like to make an Arcana check?
I'm hoping somebody will.
I don't know. What all am I geese to not do since you guys let them do that?
Nothing about knowledge has to do with that.
Are we sure? Are we very sure?
I'm the DM, yes.
I've never played with DMs who were total dicks and like... did other horrible things to
really?
You. Really?
No, he's only been one.
That's Flash what I would do.
Sorry. 22.
Apologize for the volume of my voice.
Man, it's hard not to hit below 20 when you're rolling on a plus 15.
He bragged.
It is a brag.
So I heard 23 from Rook.
Well, I mean,
how often do you get to roll plus 15?
Depends on your level, I guess.
Hold me on damage.
Nice.
I rolled a 19.
I mean, I rolled well, but I'm not going to beat a fucking 23.
Okay. I mean, the basics are, you know, Seelie Court ruled by Queen Titania and King Oberon. And they are, Titania in particular is probably the most powerful Archfey. Perhaps rivaled by the Queen of Air and Darkness, who rules the Unseelie Court. Don't really align to good or evil per se. It's more that they have a persistent and like everlasting rivalry. And then there's also plenty of Fae that don't live or are affiliated with either court. There are plenty of Fae that just live independently and don't have anything to do with either of them. Hags usually fall into that category.
Right. But I see Jeff has all this Dresden, Fae lore bouncing around in his head and he's not sure how much that applies to D&D.
Well, I couldn't know without also knowing what you know, so.
So expound on everything that you know, and then we can, you know.
So, like, don't make any promises, don't eat anything, don't accept gifts, don't, is that a thing in D&D?
It might not have been codified in any way. Like, you.
All, like, who's the last
There might be some common sense to put in there, yeah.
Who's the last, like, four major NPCs we've interacted with?
Major NPCs?
vampire.
The vampire who wanted us to make a deal. The platinum dragon who wanted a Gaius. The fucking four undead people, brothers, siblings that all wanted us to be friends and do gay. Like, all this is it's, are you a used car salesman? Like, is that what you're doing, Dave? Because I just feel like it's like the 2 weeks in Cabo. But wait, there's more, kind of.
There was also the Air Kenilov.
This is just Dave Eisinger. Mm. This is Dave Eisinger in a nutshell.
No, this is Dave Eisinger in a nutshell. Hey, look, guys, I'm in a nutshell.
Thanks, Mime.
For yeah, the audio
visual jokes
podcast.
Are great on podcast. Yeah.
Really come through.
They got it.
Maybe. Like, is there any like other specific questions you want to ask, like a query of those knowledge checks, like stuff you might know? Or
so are we going to the Sealy or Unsealy court?
The Sealy court, the summer
the
court.
Mattress court.
So, Jeff, if you're gonna pull a Dresden, we need to see where the Unsealy court is.
Well,
in D&D, I don't think it's called the Unsealy court. It's the Gloaming court.
It's both.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If Dave Eisinger has to acknowledge mythology or D&D, I feel like he's going to go with mythology.
Well, that's my question. You name dropped Oberon and Titania. Like, are we like in that?
No, they're literally in D&D.
I take what I want out of canon and fuck with it however I want.
Somebody's going to end up wearing an ass's head before this is all said and done. You guys realize that, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at. Am I thinking more in the D&D sense of those names or in more of the, you know, Shakespearean sense of those names?
Probably leaning towards more towards the D&D sense.
Okay.
Well, Kellen's never one to say no to a party.
Oh, no, so long as Nushkin knows what's being said, she's all about going.
I'm happy to translate as best as I can.
If I don't get thrown off a fucking mountain every hour or so, I'll keep casting Comprehend Languages.
No promises.
Okay.
Hey, you don't remember getting thrown off a mountain.
Fact.
So in that case, I probably just start comprehending languages because I didn't learn my lesson from the thing I don't remember.
So yeah, you can cast that again if you want to. It has been a while, probably. So, because what, it lasts an hour? Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So Edenil is leading you all off towards the tower. Sounds like you guys are following.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So she goes into the tower, and as you walk through, you know, a number of other elves following you along the way as a like an entourage sort of thing, as everyone's sort of drifting in this direction. Inside the main floor of the tower, there is currently a sort of spectral, ethereal, transparent-looking door that is just standing in the middle of the floor. And Edenil turns to you as you walk in and says, "It's quite some ways, so we'll be going through the Dead City." Nika, there's an elf sort of standing next to the door who hands like a metallic sort of flask over to Edenil, and she says, "You're back." And he says, "Yeah, it is waiting." And Edenil says to him, "How much did it cost?" He says, 2 years. She's like, "All right, if you will follow me."
Okay, two questions. Do we have Pipsky and Claw, or are they on the ship?
You can if you want. Well, wait, I can't recall what we said about that.
I can't either.
Since it has made no difference to plot
this far. We did get them
on
the ship and bring them north with us.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. But if time is wibbly-wobbly in fairy.
If you want them to be here, they can be, because I don't particularly care.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we got them.
And to clarify something I don't remember from weeks ago when we played this, I did message Senor Vampire Mirael, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't remember it, but you did.
Okay. I just want to make sure I get credit for the spells that I marked off.
Right.
We didn't discuss that when we were catching up, but I was pretty sure I had done that.
Second question. What costs 2 years, and are we incurring a debt by going with you?
She says, "That is our cost. No, it will not cost you."
We can take the party boat.
Party barge.
okay, that doesn't, saying party barge is not nearly as fun as saying party boat, okay? But you are probably literally correct.
Party gondola.
I mean, all they got to do is give us the address and we can take the party boat right there.
Mm.
Okay.
Which reminds me that Jabba's thing was a barge.
We lost you for a second there.
I believe he was making a joke about Jabba's barge.
Yes. Greg, whatever you're saying, we're not hearing it.
Yes.
Now he looks sad because it must have been a pretty good joke.
Mic check 1-2.
Okay.
Mic check 1-2.
There you are. Yeah, you're back.
Okay.
Weird. There you went.
Yes. You're lagging. I was talking. Mic check 1-2.
Yeah. You're okay for now.
Okay. My audacity is still recording. So.
Okay.
Yes, I was trying to mention that Jabba's sail barge was indeed a barge, and that barge makes me think of that. And it was pretty cool, so I'm down for a party barge.
Cool, so we're going to the Seelie Court.
Yes, Edeniel grabs the doorknob of this spectral door, opens it up, and it's just like blackness through the door, even though, you know, you can look around it and see the rest of the tower. And she steps through, followed by the dwarf that was just next to it a moment ago.
Disappears. The dwarf or the elf?
Did I say dwarf? No, it's two elves. She's an elf. The person who handed her the thing was an elf.
I thought so. That's why I was confused.
See, this is where we need the immovable rod, because since they went through first, we just close it and put that on the other side. I definitely didn't just scroll through my my sheet to see if I ever did buy that immovable rod, because it's a solid thought for Kellen at the moment.
If you didn't, I'm just going to say you definitely had your opportunity to.
I did. I did since indeed.
We have a DM that just throws money and magical items at us, which I'm not complaining about by any means.
I like that you had to get that on the record.
Well, I'm just going to say, yeah, why don't we keep talking about how he's throwing all this money at us, guys, because he'll stop and then you'll want some.
It's quite fun to play a campaign where you're well equipped for once. It's great.
I know. It's so nice to not have a DM who's a stingy dick. I wasn't talking about you, Cody.
Plausible deniability.
It's on record. It's on.
Hey, I gave all kinds of magic items. I gave such good magic items, I had to bring Josh in to play one.
And then the very brief period where it was had a German accent.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot, Dave. I forgot that you came in and played at what time.
Yeah.
All right, so we go on with them on this journey to literal hell where we have to pay years of our lives.
We have to pay what?
We don't have to pay anything. They said it does not cost us on Coronas.
All right, let's follow the people who are definitely not selling us a timeshare.
There's a bunch of elves behind you that are obviously sort of waiting to follow you in.
Yep, head in.
Okay.
I will try and talk to the leader on the way. Ask what the occasion is for the party and things like that. Try and gather a little more information.
Sure. We can come back to that in a second. As you step through the door, a cold shiver sort of runs through you and you emerge in pitch black darkness that you barely notice because overwhelmingly your senses are dominated by painfully loud howling wind. It's difficult to keep your feet for a moment until you can brace yourself against it. About 50 feet away, your eyes are drawn by a light, a bluish light flickering in a lantern dangling from the edge of a long metal pole. That pole is held by a creature. It's at least 8 feet tall, wearing dark robes, and tall and menacing antlers protrude through its hood. Chains are wrapped around and dangling from those antlers. And below the hood, you can just make out the head of a stag, but it seems to be made of solid metal, almost like a gorgon, and its eyes burn with the same bright blue light of the lantern. It stretches out a gauntleted hand toward you, or maybe that is its hand.
I high-five it.
Hello, Mr. Krampus, sir?
It's 50 feet away.
I mage hand high-five it.
A moment later, you can see a couple silhouettes moving towards it, which you assume are Edeniel and Nika. As you're sort of standing there, bracing against the wind, you get sort of bumped from behind as more people are coming through the door.
Okay.
Are we on like a path? Are we in a cave or out in the
open?
You
feel rock underneath your feet.
So this is like black spectral pits of hell kind of blackness. Like it's...
Except for that light that's shining from the lantern, it is completely black.
Gotcha. Is there any sort of like telltale path of blood or something we're supposed to walk on, or are people just moving straight forward?
The silhouettes you can see are just moving towards the creature, and in the light where it is, you can see that it's sort of standing on like cobblestone.
I mean, I'll follow along with the group since we're being pushed behind, but if I cast dancing lights and just kind of move them around, do they do anything, or do they just kind of whoomp into the darkness and disappear?
They do shine out, and you see that you are sort of in a like a cave tunnel sort of thing, but the floor of the tunnel is paved with old and cracked cobblestones. So if you're following them up towards it, as you sort of get within the radius of light of this lantern, abruptly the wind just stops and falls away, and you're in like sudden relative quiet again.
Are we next to the big antler dude?
You're getting closer to it.
Oh, okay.
Edaniel sort of walks up to it and says, "We wish to go to the Seelie Court," and it just sort of gives one long, slow nod and sort of turns and begins walking away down the hallway tunnel.
Are they following or just chilling?
Yep. Edaniel sort of looks behind and sort of waves you forward.
Okay.
And she says, "Stay close to him. The wind can drive you mad in a few hours."
Okay. Where
Pipsky
are
we? And I are off.
Where are we?
We just call it the Dead City. It may have had a name once upon a time. Don't know if it does still.
Say, what is it in D&D? Is it Pandemonium? That's got all the wind in the caves?
Are you asking the DM or Edaniel?
Well, they call it the whatever city, so I'm assuming they don't know.
Pandemonium is on the elemental plane of chaos, isn't it?
Well, you're a wizard. Do you want to roll an arcana check?
I mean, sure. That's a 23.
Everything you're seeing so far is consistent with a layer of pandemonium. There are four layers.
Dope. Guys, we're on another plane of existence.
Again.
Pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, I just assumed we were plane hopping.
Right, but like, you know.
I mean, we already hadn't we?
Yeah. The Feywild is a different plane.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's a little different.
As you begin walking, Daniel just sort of like nods towards the creature walking ahead of you and says, "We call him Yulda. And then she sort of looks over at the dwarf. She's like, and then repeats it in common. She says, like, it's an elvish word that means like drain or siphon.
Huh.
But we have an arrangement.
Yeah, I got that. He takes years off of your life to go places, I guess.
So after about another couple hundred feet or so, there's a bend in the tunnel. And you sort of get the vague sense that you have like come to the end of the tunnel and that there's a more open space around you. And down below you in the distance, you can see small specks of light, which you assume are either magical lights or perhaps more lanterns. You think this is probably some vast sort of cavern. And by those dim lights in the distance, you can sort of make out the vague silhouettes of buildings and spires and bridges.
I mean, I'll shoot my dancing lights all over the place, just moving them around to get a better vision.
The only thing that gets revealed in the immediate area is that, yes, the tunnel's ended, and that a little ways in front of you, there is a broad stone stairway that begins leading downward into the cavern.
I mean, I assume we descend the stairs.
Say, no signs of Antler Boy?
Oh, no, he's in front of you, still okay. Leading the way.
If it doesn't seem entirely uncouth, or even if it does, Kellen would like to walk up and get a little closer to that guy.
Okay. It doesn't seem to pay any attention to you as you get, you know, walk up next to it or something. Just sort of like slowly putting one hand in front of it with the pole that the lantern is on, like a staff, and then, you know, sort of walking past it, picking it up again. Very slow and deliberate.
Sweet. Wand of magic detection?
Yeah, you detect plenty of magic, especially all around that lantern.
just looking for schools. Like, is he guiding based on something like divination, or is he actually like cutting a physical planar path kind of thing? Or is it something that's protection? Is it, you know?
The lantern seems to admit abjuration.
Okay. So it's probably just the magical lantern not doing anything other than lighting the way, as best as I could tell.
You get the impression that it's probably responsible for the, like, the bubble of no wind.
Gotcha. Okay. So we're traveling along in his, and does it appear that the entire party is residing inside said bubble, I'm assuming?
Yeah, everyone's staying pretty close. There's probably about 2 dozen elves or so with you.
Be like, hey, big guy, can you teach me that trick? I like your lantern.
It doesn't look down at you. It just keeps moving.
You're really the first interesting person I feel like I've met in a while. Kellen will just walk beside him and make small talk, because that's what Kellen does.
After maybe a couple minutes of letting you do that, Daniel will say, so we had something to discuss.
Yes. We'd like your people's permission to delve into Nephthelion.
We'll translate.
She sort of holds up a hand to you as if the translation is not necessary. Says, who is we and why?
Well, the group of us will be the ones delving in, but it's for the Iron Rose University. It's an archaeological expedition.
That does not precisely tell me why.
Why is because we don't know what's down there. So it's an academic expedition.
I will save you some time then. There are many dead elves.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's some alive things down there too, though.
Sort of raises an eyebrow at you. Is it alive or undead?
Or undead. Yeah, I mean, take your pick.
Both, actually.
Not quite dead.
We managed to make it into the first level, and that's when we were stopped. We encountered several undead and several fey.
And it may not seem interesting or important to you, but we know very little about the society, the culture, the history, the technology of this people and what they lived like back then. I mean, it's not that we don't know anything, but there's potentially much to gain, but we don't know without going in there to see.
Most importantly, it's the name of the podcast, so kind of can't narratively roadblock us here, bros. He said the name of the thing.
He said the thing.
She says, so are you treasure hunters then? Are you hoping to gain some great wealth from all of the corpses of my brethren?
As he said, we're on a fact-finding mission. Archaeological. Educational.
I mean, the university would collect things from the city. They'd study it. They'd make the information known. But no, we're not going in there to raid a tomb.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. If they've got something, you know, helpful or valuable that's not a relic, that's not culturally significant, that doesn't have any academic value, but I might be useful, and it's laying there, I'm not going to necessarily say no, but that's not the reason we're going.
And five of you expect to take a city?
Yeah, we don't know.
I mean, if it's an empty city, not too worried about it. If it's full of an undead army, no, probably not.
But either way, that's important information that we need to know. If there's some kind of an army left down there, the outside world needs to know that.
Why do they need to know if they've not known for 900 years?
Would you not want to know if there were a threat nearby?
Yeah, what if after 905 they figure out a way to get out of there?
Yeah, it's always been my experience. Secrets don't exactly stay secret forever.
You seem to be proof of that.
Thank you.
I mean, in terms of any dangers down there, including up to and including undead armies. I mean, like, you know, you ever hear the story about the god who ate the moon?
No.
He did it one bite at a time, bro. One bite at a time.
How quaint.
So
you at this point you've reached the bottom of these long flights of stairs, and this creature siphon begins leading you across a long arched bridge, and you go under a open gateway at the other end into what feels like city streets, still broken, crumbling. Out of the corners of your eye, you can occasionally see little flitting bits of movement in the very edges of the darkness.
Absolutely toss my dancing lights over there. What up?
For a moment, you see like a sort of hideous pale face with a long tongue hanging out of it, and then it scampers off into the darkness.
Nice. Is there any language or anything written on any of these buildings, or is everything eroded?
There does seem to be the occasional bits of graffiti or stuff scratched into walls. You can sort of tell the age because the newer stuff seems like it, you know, is still fairly legible, while some of it is like eroded and looks sort of smooth and just like divots, like the wind has carved away at its sharp edges over hundreds of years, probably.
Anything I pick up in terms of comprehend languages that seems useful, or is it just like dick jokes and talks about who slept with whose mother?
It seems to be a lot of raving.
Nice, my favorite kind.
Accusations or just babblings, or you do recall as you're looking at them that, you know, a little while ago, Ed Daniel had said something about the wind driving people mad.
I write down any passages that seem particularly enlightening.
Okay. There probably aren't too many of those, but...
Hey, one person's madman is another person's cult leader. Dave, okay?
A glad man?
I was gonna say, you know, I'm never going to rule this entire place at my own 3-foot stature. I must gain a following. And sometimes the ravings of a madman are helpful.
Okay, so as you begin walking through the city, going upstairs, and sort of winding your way through alleys and streets, seemingly at random, but all led by the same creature, Ed Daniel says, "I do not think that Nevthelion should be anything but the tomb it already is. If I were to come ask you if I could dig up your grandparents, because they might have some historically, culturally significant necklace on them, you might feel the same way."
I get your point, but like, is it a tomb? Do you really think of it that way? We're not trying to dig up graves.
It seems that if my ancestors had been defeated on a battlefield, I would do everything I could to get back there to give them a proper burial.
You wouldn't be able to dig up my grandparents because I already did it myself.
Oh my God.
She looks at you for like a solid 15 seconds before just sort of looking away without saying anything.
Baby's first necromancy. But in all seriousness, there's literally a ticking time bomb down there, and plenty of other people have scratched and clawed their way down there, so it'll happen sooner or later.
Make a deception check.
I mean, other people have been down there. That's not a lie.
Nobody else has clawed their way down there.
Not that I know of. It's an 8.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't know about anybody else having been down there yet.
But, now, what's her face was?
And we'll point to Kellen and say, "This idiot made his way down there." you're not going to keep people out forever.
In fairness, this idiot was with a couple of other idiots, so it wasn't alone.
But I mean, what's her face made it in there without a key?
No. Coinleaf? No, she never did.
I mean,
She found the ruins above and sent for a team to go in.
Oh, I keep thinking she was the one who died on the bridge.
No, that's Kira.
The Elven lady.
What if this is an opportunity to give your descendants a proper burial? What if we went in there respectfully? What if you joined us? And rather than having them lying on the streets in the city that fell, why not give them more respect, proper graves? Make a ceremony of it. Bring all the descendants together.
I mean, honestly, this is...
Share our findings, have the university share its findings with you.
This is really kind of a courtesy call, though, isn't it? I mean, Mirael sent us here, right? He's the one who really wants to talk to you, because he's not going to believe whatever I have to say.
Who's Mirael?
Yeah, didn't we already talk about that?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Not with her.
My mind was wiped.
You don't know that your mind was wiped.
Right, exactly. Which is why Kellen's shocked that we've not talked about this already. I'm like, why the hell are we going to the fucking, you know, fey courts? Like, the whole point was, your ancestor sent us here because he wants to talk to you. Maybe I should message him. Give me a second.
Hey, hang on.
Aren't we already aware, though, that he did that? Like, we know he did that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and in fact, Cody, I believe you are given, your character has been given motivation not to inform anybody yeah. of this location, which you roleplayed very well at the last session.
Anyway, you should go talk to him because he's the one who really wants to, you know, like, get your permission for some strange reason. You want to talk to one of your living ancestors? Well, I don't know if air quotes are an elven mostly. Thing, but air quotes living. You know, get his opinion on it. I mean, I'm not sure why he wants your permission anyway, but he does. So who am I to judge?
I've never heard of him. He's not my ancestor.
He was from Nephthelion.
He lived there. He was alive.
He went to Duavrod, didn't he?
Yes.
We found a journal in the guard of an evacuee, one of the council of Nephthelion, and she sent one of the keys to the levels to him in Duavrod. Somewhere along the line, Miriel was attacked by vampires and turned. So he's still around, and he said that he wouldn't give us the key unless you guys said it was okay for us to go in.
Which really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean,
so you are here on behalf of an undead.
A living, or sort of living, resident of Nephthelion.
Yes.
And you believe that he has anyone's best interest at heart?
He wants to talk to you. Well, I mean, you will go back and kill him. I'll take the key. Like, okay. Let's go. Teleport.
The village that he lords over, the people there told us that he takes care of them. That he's never done anything to hurt any of them. Yeah, we got the sense that he does have other people's best interest at heart.
I mean, if we didn't, killed him on the spot.
Matter of fact, I believe we did insight checks to make sure that we got that idea.
Yeah, we rolled insight, Dave.
Just remember this whole debacle the next time you tell me. Don't just throw a fireball, okay? Because this would have been a whole lot easier if we'd have just killed Miriel, because we'd be on our way back to Nephthelion by now.
I mean, you assume. You assume we would have found the key.
If it says anything to it, if it says anything to his character, he could have just given us the key without your permission. But he felt it was appropriate and just to get your permission. That act of it itself should tell you about his character.
Or he wants to find out where they are so he can raise an undead army of elves. I mean, there's that possibility.
She sort of looks back at the elves that are following her, and she's like, what ground would I have to stand on if I started trusting the word of a fucking vampire? No, leave it be. And she sort of, like, walks several steps ahead of you, just sort of, like, signaling sort of an end to the conversation.
Okay, outside of gaming, gentlemen, I'm good with giving up this approach at this point.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep arguing with her.
I mean, we don't need her permission, we just... who is she? I mean, we're not...
She's the leader of the ones that we have to convince.
And really, I don't want to push our luck when we're on another plane at their mercy.
Yes.
About that. I mean...
I'd rather get back lane safely and fight a vampire than do whatever Cody is cooking up in his head right now.
I mean, really, we're not at their whim. We're at my homie Lantern Boy's whim. So I'm just throwing it out there.
My homie is a big stretch.
I'm working on it. I'm buttering him up.
No, you're not.
I'll go over and be like, so hey, big guy, how do these deals with you work?
For the first time, it sort of like turns its metallic head down towards you.
Nice.
The bright blue eyes still burning. Doesn't say anything. And there's... You feel something in your head. It's not telepathy. There's no words, but you just sort of get the vague sort of feeling that there's a cost.
Sure, sure. Is this one of these straight, like, deal-for-deal things, or is this more like a Mephistophelian, if I don't read the fine print kind of thing, or, like, say, for example, could I offer you slightly more than what they gave you to have us lead this group somewhere else?
You get, at that suggestion, you get sort of just a wave of negative emotion.
Oh, okay. So you're definitely on the lawful side of the spectrum then. Okay. So we're headed to the Sealy Court regardless of whatever other deals that I could potentially offer.
Wait, are we not at the Sealy Court yet?
Nope.
No.
I thought this was okay.
No. We now have broken up with the girl, Craig, that we're on our way to the week in the Cayman Islands with. So I don't know if you want to go to the party. I'm basically trying to see if the pilot will land elsewhere at this point.
Daniel at this point is in front of Siphon, like a few feet ahead, and just sort of like looking back occasionally to make sure that she stays close. Hanging back behind, the other elf who was originally standing next to the door, takes a few steps to the side and ends up next to Rook and says, talk to me at the court away from ears.
I will give the subtlest of nods.
In so much as a robot man can.
Just like squeak in my neck.
Subtlety acknowledged.
What was their name again?
What? Nika.
What was their name again? Nika?
Mm-hmm. Right there for you. You walk past a statue in a large courtyard that at this point seems to have quite a bit of movement sort of at the edges of all the light, but none of it seems to sort of like dare to infringe and are just sort of circling around the edges of it. You leave the courtyard, walk past the ruins of what was once probably a very grand cathedral, now looks like has most of its roof fallen in, but its walls are still intact, and the Siphon sort of leads you around it on a corner and then begins climbing up a long set of zigzagging stairs that seem to be, you're guessing just from like, once you get a few flights up and you can start looking out over more of the city, you're guessing that you may have crossed, not across the whole thing, but across like one side of it. And you think that you might be sort of like climbing up sort of like the edge of the cavern now. And after multiple flights of steps, several hundred feet probably of climbing, you reach a fortified wall with a gate in it. And beyond, you can see, there's a few lanterns glowing in some of the windows of what looks like a keep. But rather than head towards it, the creature turns and goes into the gatehouse. And as you've all sort of like crowded into it, it goes down a small sort of like cellar stairway into like the basement of this gatehouse. And then when it reaches the bottom, it just looks like a like any random basement. Like there's a random wooden chair and a few a table. It looks like it was, you know, like a break room almost sort of thing. It doesn't look in any way special. He sort of sets his pole with the lantern hanging on it down straight and then just sort of waves his arm once. And there's a little bit of wibbliness in the air as a door handle sort of appears.
I'm going to be honest. A thought has entered my mind that I kind of really want to just like attack him out of nowhere. Just to fuck with Dave, because you probably have not prepared a battle map for this room.
I like how that's the reason. Like, of all the reasons, and there are some good reasons. I mean, tossing a fireball as you run through the door could be a lot of fun. But just to see if he has a battle map prepared, that's next level meta shit.
I will not do that. But I thought about it, and I just wanted to let you know, Dave.
I will go over to the giant Siphon, because I'm assuming the door handle is not his sized, is it? It looks like he is going this far and no further because he's led us to the door.
It seems that way.
So about those transfer of you know, stuff and things. Is there a way I can hit you up, you know, tete-a-tete if we need your services?
You just sort of feel your attention drawn to the lantern.
Aight.
And you get the impression that you're just sort of supposed to look for that.
Now, do you operate just on this level of pandemonium, or, you know, do you do like elemental plane of earth?
It begins walking away.
as Pipsky and I ride by, I'll look up at the guy and say, "Don't listen to a word he said. He says he breaks contracts constantly."
I'd like to point out, Jeff, while you're not wrong, I'd like to point out that if it goes poorly at the Sealy Court, this is the only motherfucker who probably gets us off, because I can't plane walk.
Troy can.
Troy will be the one who survives this campaign, then.
I mean, I'm good with that. I built Nushka to go down in a blaze of glory. So I'm good.
Some sort of lovely 80s rock tune plays in the background as he raises his axe and charges into a last stand battle.
You mean like Blaze of Glory? Come on, Cody. It's right there.
It's two on the nose.
And then he grabs the handle of that door, opens it, and walks through.
Subtleties in exactly our milieu.
Something. Through that door, what do we see through the doorway?
It's just blackness still.
Darkness, my old friend.
Yushka and Pipsky ride through it.
Okay.
Jeff, I really thought you were going to rhyme with him. Like, blackness, my old friend. Yushka and Pipsky ride again.
All right, let's go through the door and see what we have to do dealing with literal fey creatures.
I'm hoping that there's going to be some kind of information as to why there are fey in Nevthelion. So let's actually go and find out.
I can't wait to piss off, like super powerful fey, because everybody else with authority has been... Where's Puck? Let's find Puck. I feel like Puck and I would get along real well.
So going through the door again, you end up in a forest of very tall trees, like redwood tall. Everything is still sunset. Rook and Kellen remember a vague fact that the sun never moves in the Feywild, perpetually sunset. And Edeniel just begins walking through the trees off in a direction, and the elves begin coming out behind you and also following.
Yeah, we'll keep pace.
Okay. So as you sort of walk through these beautiful forest glades, after some time, maybe 10 minutes or so of walking, you become aware of increasing noise, indistinct but steady, and after a bit you can pick out the sounds of laughter, of singing, of movement, all above the ubiquitous babble of voices. And abruptly you step through a line of trees and find yourself at the edge of a vast crowd, probably of over 1,000 creatures. It feels like you're in a building, but you realize a moment later that what seem to be pillars are in fact these same redwoods, and that the living ceiling is formed from their many intertwining branches. Phosphorescent flowers bloom everywhere, emitting a soft glowing light over the whole area. Waterways crisscross across the glade with small and elegantly wrought iron bridges crossing them. And sparkling jewels are literally floating down the current. There are fey everywhere. Fairies, pixies, dryads, satyrs, sprites, unicorns, centaurs, fairy dragons, treants, elves. And Edeniel sort of turns and gives you a bit of a smirk and says, "Try not to have too much fun."
Do we see...
You may want to tie that one up.
Oh, no. Invisibility. I'm gone. Do we see...
Counterspell.
Do we see any... obvious thrones or places where Oberon and Tatiana might be?
You do see a few thrones at the far end of the glade. They are currently unoccupied, but they're on just sort of like a dais of about maybe like 5 feet above the rest of the area.
And where did you say exactly where? Nice. Did you say exactly where the music was coming from?
From all over the place. It looks like there's several like bands that are sort of all, you know, just sort of at various spots in the crowd. They're not super close to each other, so you're usually only hearing one clearly at a time.
Gotcha.
But then there's also just some people that are just sort of randomly dancing around. Some of them are just singing on their own. There's a great deal of drinks and food and other items of merriment in abundance.
Nice.
So is it predominantly Fey here, or are there other mortals intermingled?
For the most part, the normal people you see are elves. But otherwise, it's a great deal of Fey.
Okay.
You see a blink dog sort of appearing and disappearing throughout the crowd at one point. Nushka suddenly gets bumped by a wing as a small little drake about like 3 feet long, flying, not the same sort of drake as Pipsky, sort of comes up next to you and says, "Oh, hi, how are you? Welcome to the party. You are odd."
Odd. She's speaking to Nushka.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a dwarf. What about you?
Oh, I'm just me. And she sort of flies away a little bit to someone that's walking past with a tray of mugs and sort of like grabs one with her feet and then just like plunges her entire head into the mug and starts like slurping beer very quickly.
Nice. Okay. Well, I
lean down to Pipsky and say, "How come you can't do that?"
Like, yeah, I just don't get drunk.
No, I mean the wings.
Well, that's just mean. Why can't you fly?
I can. I just have to go buy a broom for it.
Prick.
Speaking of flying, Kellen is going to take flight.
Jesus.
Get up above the head of the crowd and look for the most interesting aspect of the party and fly right towards it.
Okay. The big thing that stands out to you is a giant punch bowl that appears to be made out of a shell, and there are currently a number of dryads and satyrs and elves bobbing for apples in it.
Nice. Huh.
When there's a number of other people sort of standing around in a circle cheering them on.
I will float over to watch this bobbing of apples.
As you're sort of making your way through the crowd, the rest of you, Rook, you get your elbow plucked and you turn to see Nika there.
I was about to seek him or her or they.
Him.
I was about to seek him out and kind of like loudly ask as a cover question. So is this place a perpetual party or is this a one-time thing or a period? Like, what's the frequency on this?
There's party? Often a party here, but it's not usually this big. I think there is some sort of victory or something that is being celebrated. I'm not real clear on the details. For most of us, it doesn't matter. Anyway, and sort of looks around a little bit and says, maybe sort of like points to like more like the edge of the crowd and begins winding his way through there. It's like,
I'll follow him, making small talk.
Okay.
About the party.
You get to one of the little bridges that goes across a creek, and for the most part, people aren't stopping on them. So when you get to one, you're, you know, a little ways away from people. And he says, listen, I've only just met you, but I feel sort of obliged to mention that.
And this is crazy.
Fuck you, Joey. Here's my number.
So, oh, cast sending, maybe?
Hey. No, he says, well, Edinil, as much as she often likes to think so, does not speak for all of us. Especially, I think, about this.
I wondered, given that her clear objection didn't have us immediately turn around and depart, and that we continued on here, does she answer she answers to those above her in the Sealy Court, yes?
Answers to is perhaps a bit strong. It's not fealty so much as an arrangement.
I wondered what kind of a debt you incurred by having a place to hide in the Feywild.
There are some obligations which I don't know all the details of. Anyway. Oh, hi, Nushka. Apparently you're there.
Oh, sorry. Was I not
fine.
There?
That's fine. You can be.
Jeff can just also speak for Rook either way.
says, I, for one, would like to see Nephthelion rid of its evil paw. I don't know. Well, I don't think I'm alone. I don't think Adeniel is alone either. But anyway, there is something that she omitted, a relevant fact. In the Dead City, during one of our passages, I spotted some Elvish scrawled on a roll, on a wall, which isn't usual.
Okay.
There were two phrases, and one of them said, "Romanose, you fool." And the other was just, "I cannot find my way back. I cannot, I cannot." I've wanted to investigate them for years, but I have always been forbidden from doing so because of, well, it's the Dead City. It's dangerous. But
do you know who this Romanose is at all? Any clues?
Well, yes. He was on the council at Nephthelion.
That's what I thought.
I say we've heard that name before, but I didn't remember which character it was.
And
well, I'm curious what he knows.
How would anyone have ended up there except by some other portal?
You're sure that it would have to be another portal because you're saying they wouldn't have traveled the same way that we did?
I don't think so. So we entered via a spell, but it's mostly like the city is a conflux of portals. The Yulda leads us to them, but he doesn't create them. They're just there, and that's part of the reason why the city is so dangerous, because things end up there from all over the multiverse, from planes that I don't know. But
so you're telling me this because you're hoping that we will go and clear out Nephthelion of any remaining undead. Is that's your desire? Is for us to
see its halls clean again? Evil? Yes.
Okay.
We've been hiding for centuries, and I find myself asking for what reason, to what end.
So this might be a possible route for us to go if we don't gain the permission or the blessing of your group here. But I'm interested in your opinion. What of the arguments that we've made for exploring and cleansing of Thalion? Is there any argument that you've heard us make that you think would repress that would really be effective with the rest of your kind here?
Or is there a valid reason that you know of that we shouldn't
speak to others besides yourself?
I think that most of our group isn't going to change their mind. They probably already feel one way or another. But
and you don't know which way that the majority leans.
If I had to guess, we're probably split, but I don't know for sure. There's perhaps 1,000 of us, but we don't all stay together all the time.
If it came to it such that your people were divided on this issue, how do you function? Would you literally call a vote? Or would your response just be, well, we're divided, there is no answer?
Well, it hasn't really
Or is there someone who makes a decision? Sorry.
Usually it's discussed and a consensus is reached, but, you know, and Adeniel's word carries perhaps more weight than some others, but I do not think a consensus would be reached. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter, and that those of us who would see Nephthelion purged would thank you. The rest of them are going to stay here in the Feywild and don't give a shit. They'll act like they'll give a shit, but you never have to see them again, I don't think, probably.
Don't imagine if we cleansed the Nephthelion that we would be invited back here with open arms. If it's
that's probably true.
Divided as you say.
I'm working on not getting us invited back here ever again right now.
Has Kellen now plunged his face into the punch?
No, I'd like to start asking around for big fan from the literature, looking for anyone who goes by Robin Goodfellow, Puck the Hobgoblin, etc. You know, the right hand man of Oberon. You know, is that actually a person or is it amalgamation? Is it a council of assistants? Like, because I'm a big fan. Love to get his John Hancock on something.
Point of order: unless he actually did the invisible thing and tried to get away from us, I'd be trying to keep as close to tabs as I can on him.
Okay, sort of a. Pushing your way through crowds and
yeah,
oh damn it!
I mean,
Nika says, the other thing is that Daniel did have a fair point. You are a very few people against a large city. If you were to find a portal, that might allow you to go, well, I guess it depends on where it leads, but it may allow you to bypass some opposition.
But bypassing the opposition doesn't cleanse the opposition.
It's a shame Jeff ruined my connection with the portal Uber driver.
A little reductionist of the role, but sure.
Right, so we need to try and find a portal in Pandemonium into Nephthelion.
It's an option.
Oh, it's... Do you say that out loud, or is that just you musing?
Well, that... I'm trying to understand what he's telling us to do.
That does seem like the gist he's suggesting, yes.
You think that somebody from Nephthelion was lost in Pandemonium?
It's Cocytus, yes, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I know the guy that you mentioned.
The Romanosa?
Romanosa?
Yes.
He was Kira's opponent on the council. He didn't want questioning at the gates, and we were questioning whether he was allowing spies in the city.
I don't know anything about that. I just know that he was the leader of the council.
I would be talking with Rook about this, trying to figure out what we can suss out from what was written. So Melvariel ended up here.
What?
She was the one who was cast out by the council.
Yes.
Romanosa, you fool. She would have been the one who was cast out by the council, and she may have been the one who wrote that on the walls.
It's possible.
I just realized I was about to reference something you guys didn't know. Oops.
You caught yourself.
So how did you guys end up here?
What do you mean?
How did you guys end up making a deal with the Summer Court to stay in the Fey Wilds after evacuating Nephthelion?
My understanding is that there was sort of a gradual retreat up into the Nera Tavar, and once we were there, you know, we just sort of started making a home for ourselves, and that the portal to the Feywild was discovered entirely by accident. But once we knew it was there, you know, we sort of slowly started moving through. There were still some that live on the other plane. There was a tower that, we actually recently closed that up, but there's also some folks in Aldahulk. It's a town across the lake.
No, there's not.
What do you mean?
I mean, we found that town. There wasn't anything left.
Shit.
This is what happens when you ignore the problem.
What, the Gith?
Any problem. I mean.
Yeah, well, there's at least one, maybe more, Gith creche up in the Nera Tavar. They like raiding us. As a
dis. Is a creche the ship?
No, a creche is the an outpost, a Gith outpost, where they train their warriors and raise their young.
Oh. Man, they're going to be shitty when they find out we got their boat.
We got your boat.
So,
speaking of that, we need to make sure that if we want to keep that boat, this trip can't take more than a day.
Yeah, Cody. Just keep that in the back of your head.
Well, I would ask Nika about that.
Okay, about what?
About how long we're going to be here.
This feast will probably go on for a week. Now, travel through the Dead City works. Time is different there. I don't know precisely how different, but barely any time passes. If you go there, even if you travel for hours across the city and then go out the other side, it's been hardly any time. However, going back through the portal to the Feywild, to the material plane, is much less predictable.
Okay.
I'm doing my best to get us thrown out of this party as soon as possible, guys. Don't you worry.
Well, my thing is, do we don't really want to teleport from here to Nephthelion because we still need a key to get out of Nephthelion. We're one key down.
Yeah.
Well, if there's a portal in, out.
That's what I'm saying. If there is, that's what I'm trying to get at. I don't know if we would want to take that option because.
So, could you help us get back to where you saw the writings?
Probably. Yes.
I mean, we just asked the Siphon, right? He would know if there's portals. Isn't that what he does?
So the reason I was there outside the door already when you came in is because I went to go find Yulda so that he would be there when everyone else went through. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. And I've done it a couple times before, but it's not always the same person's job. And it essentially, you stay alive by being quiet and staying out of sight. With more than one person, it'd be difficult.
Huh.
Now, if he happens to be close when we go through, that's easy. But he may not be. It's a large city. And as you saw, he does not exactly rush anywhere.
And the city is not uninhabited?
No, far from it.
Okay. I guess I assumed dead meant empty, and I should not have assumed that.
Well, I mean...
I think Jeff knows what's there, but I'm not sure. I know Nushka would.
It's the folk that are there are often either mad or undead or fiends or some combination thereof. There are some very strange things there.
Hmm. Isn't that where the slaughter from?
I believe they're from Limbo.
It's pandemonium? Maybe it is Limbo. Okay. I'm getting my planes mixed up.
But I remember seeing a light in the bell tower of the cathedral from where I saw the writing. So I think I could use that to find where it was.
Do you or your fellow descendants here have any knowledge, history, remembrance of Nevthelion? Anything to give us any sort of clues or advantage on going in there and what we might encounter?
I mean... Maybe. I don't know what sort of knowledge you're looking for. We don't know much about how it fell, because most of our ancestors weren't there, which is why they survived.
Well, they weren't there at the time when it happened?
Not during the fall, no.
Yeah, these are the ones that were outside the city.
Yeah, okay. Right, that makes sense.
But, well, there are... Hang on a sec. DM needs to flip through stuff. Okay, so, Nika goes on, from what I remember, at least, I could at least tell you a bit more about the city itself. It sounds like you were able to get into the barracks?
Yes.
Yes.
So below that is the market level, stores, stalls. There was a courtyard, there too, which I think is where like the stalls were. And then there were like the permanent stores. Below that was the tradesman level where... all the craftsmen did their work. The city was known for its jewelers. Below that was just a residential floor layer of the city. And then that leads down to... Tunnels from that lead down to the central chamber where the palace and the college and the temples were, the mage guild, all off of one large central chamber. And then below that were some of the more... I guess sort of subsistence levels. There was more residential and like mills, and then there were farms. There were a couple levels of underground farms, and then at the bottom, I think, was the prison. It's I don't know. I think I heard the like that it was like 300 feet deep. Get tossed around.
I'm taking notes.
You know I had this written down somewhere. I cannot find any of my notes, or at least not most of them.
And as you. And obviously have discovered there were these big stone gates between each level.
Yes.
So guardhouse, merchants, and shops, residential level, farming, prison. Did I miss something?
The central chamber. That's below the residential, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, DM, for applicable useful information, which I was seeking for.
He didn't happen to ever say anything about mapping Pandemonium, did he? Or does he just go through it based on memory?
He didn't say anything about a map, no.
Other than he's been trying to find the portal, but has been unsuccessful.
Well, he wasn't allowed to go looking.
Oh, okay. But he's got no prior research to help us out there.
Other than the location of the scrolls, yeah.
Well, I appreciate the information. Guys, I can't think of anything else to ask at this time. Does anybody else want to throw something in before I end this conversation?
No, I think it's just another avenue. It's another resource. If we can't get the key, theoretically we could find Antler Guy and maybe find a portal. But I think this others have said already, that's probably a terrible idea, totally unprepared. I mean, I'm all for it. Like, shoot, let's teleport down to the seventh layer of hell and see what happens. I mean, you know, as long as Troy doesn't die, we can magic our way out of there.
Unless they've got some sort of a teleporting field. Do we think that we could open the gates that have the special keys that we've been acquiring? Do we think that if we're inside Nephthalion, we could open those doors from the inside and exit without the keys?
Does it have a crash bar? Emergency exit only. Elven alarm exactly. Will sound.
I mean, you know what? Sorry, I don't want to ruin your lore, Dave, here or whatever, but like, if it had a crash bar, then the undead army would be able to leave at any time, right?
Well, that one thing killed itself on the outside door trying to escape.
Yeah.
I got the sense that these keys were needed to get through the door one way or the other.
Nika says, as far as I know, you need the keys. But I don't know how many of the doors inside may be open or closed.
We do. At least.
No, we don't.
We only
know of two for sure.
Well, the journal told us which ones they sealed. And if I could find my damn notes.
They hope to have sealed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So according to Cure's journal, they sealed the gate from, you know, between the main hall and the barracks. That's the one that you found on her corpse. And then they also sealed the one between the barracks and the market, between the market and the tradesmen, and then also the door to the central chamber.
Right.
But there is another one in between there, the residential lair, which
that wasn't sealed.
She didn't have a key for, so that one may or may not be open. And then there's all the ones below that central chamber, too.
I can't help but metagame and just ask, is Dave the kind of campaign writer and DM to offer us this avenue without a way to get out?
No.
And I don't think so.
But that also leaves the chance of us not finding whatever that avenue is. I mean, he could have, you know, the back door available, but whether or not we find that back door is a whole other thing.
Good point.
So are you saying then, or are we to guess that because we know that these keys are out there, that these are the ones that they for sure locked, and that's why they have the keys for them? Or
they're the ones that Kira brought with her out of the lower levels and sent with the various people, you know, to Mirael, to the Vidarva Anusta.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get at. So, but she is, what her journalist is saying is, I locked these doors. I know these doors are locked. I had the keys. So at least these ones I know
correct
are definitely locked.
Yeah. That's why they had to be gotten out of the city and hidden. Because it was only the council members who had these specific keys, right?
Correct.
Right.
I'm going to thank him for the information and say, Nika, you know, thank you for sharing this with us. And I think we should talk more potentially. I want to confer with the rest of our group.
Of course. Right, one other thing. If if you want to go find Portal or Yulda, one of the elves that came with us knows the spell and could probably teach it to someone. And I think he feels the same way I do.
Okay.
You have a name, or would you point them out, or?
Sort of looks around briefly to see if he can see him, and says, I don't see him at the moment, but his name is Roosterion.
Rooster. Cock. Got it.
I was going to go with Russell.
But... There you go, Cody. Oh, maybe I misheard. Maybe the audio glitched.
Roosterion.
Okay. Of course you'd give it that kind of flair.
Fun fact. All of my random name generator, for elves, it pulls from... Tolkien's elvish names.
Nice.
Huh. All right, I'm going to run and get a drink real quick.
Sure, we could take a short break. Actually, before you do, so that when you come back, and FYI, so other people can be working on it in the meantime, level up.
Ooh.
Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Rann as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at rancorsbrothel.com and the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.